This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Premier Sports Radio Call-In Show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a beautiful Monday afternoon edition of the show. Hope you're doing well. Gather in. We are locked and loaded, ready to roll here for the next 3 hours. Bear is here. Rick is here. Jake Miller is watching and observing with us in studio this afternoon. We're glad to have him.
Another Jake.
It's Miller time. We got a lot. He's like, yeah, it's only the billionth time I've heard that, smart guy. We got a lot to get into here, folks. The day after, Bear and I have already conducted our own postmortem for what we saw yesterday.
It wasn't pleasant, Russell.
Out in Omaha. It wasn't a lot of fun, no.
No. Father's Day, me and you're in here covering another Tennessee heartbreaking loss.
If you're into that sort of thing, the podcast is available. You can go do that. We're not going to rehash all the – I mean, I'm sure we'll get into it a little bit, but right now what Tennessee fans are freaking out over, and I blame our own Houston Kress,
yeah,
the Vol rumor mill,
what
for this.
What the hell is he doing?
I don't know, but, I mean, this is out there. Are a lot of LSU rumors out there right now.
He ain't going to LSU.
You don't know that. You don't know that. And until they hire a coach – and we have some sort of release about Tony Vitello signing a long-term deal with the Vols. You don't know that. We don't know that. But there's a lot of rumors out there, and all you got to do is go look at the message boards. I was perusing Tiger droppings behind. There's a six-page thread on there that started about 9 o'clock this morning. All signs point to Vitello. And a lot of people talking about that. And then just about 52 minutes ago, our own Houston Kress. I mean, you talk about throwing chum in the waters. You talk about – I won't call it a troll job because I'm not saying he's making anything up. But our own Houston Kress, 52 moments ago on Twitter, my Major League Baseball source just called with a saddening story. LSU is very interested in Tony Vitello. I'll leave it at that. We can't lose him. Can't! In all caps. I'll explain tomorrow at 7 a.m. I think you owe us an explanation now, Kress. Houston, if you're listening, and I know you are, I want you to call in right now. Explain yourself. Don't make these people, don't do that hit-and-run tweet and then expect everybody to tune into your radio show.
You want me to call him?
At 7 a.m.? Yeah, go ahead and call him.
On the air?
Yes. And you better answer, Kress.
Now, let me ask you a question, and I'm only asking this because I'm listening to your reaction here at the beginning of the show. Is this news raising your worry meter? Is that kind
sure.
of what? Okay. I just needed to know definitively.
Sure. I mean, how could it not? I mean, I'm not last week, I was pretty consistent. I said out of a scale of 0 to 10, with 10 being he's gone and 0 being no chance, he's staying, he's ours, don't even worry about it. I've been at a 3. And over the course of the day, I'm up to a 4.5, 5 somewhere in there. Why can't we just lock him up, man? I mean, I know that if he wins a national championship – His bargaining power goes through the roof. Can we just finish this? Can we just go ahead and have the announcement and set all our – this feels scarily similar to Bruce Pearl in – was it Charlotte? We're playing Michigan.
It's not even like that. You guys are grasping at straws. Now, he's ignoring us. I want to leave my voicemail.
Pick up the phone, Chris.
But if I do, I'm going to have to cut our mics off for just a minute.
Why?
Well, you know how to leave voicemails.
Oh.
He's going to leave one of his.
Just give me 10 seconds here.
Wow. That was terrible.
That was real.
That was terrible.
You guys keep going. I'm going to keep calling.
Call him again. Pick up the phone, Chris. Pick up the phone.
I'll give everybody his phone number on air. That way everybody can call and I can get on with the show.
Yeah, I just think I'm a 4.5 or 5 right now. How about you, Rick?
Yeah, I would say I'm right there with you. It has certainly gone up over the weekend, whether you're talking about just watching the LSU presence in Omaha, as we have seen on certain reports from here and there, whether you're talking about just kind of, again, these little teases that we've been getting in the last 24, 48 hours or so, I'm definitely starting to pick up a little bit of worry. But at the same time, I'm still confident in the right direction. But nonetheless, I think it is certainly rising.
I'm sorry, I zoned out. I was watching soccer. Wait, where are you at? You're 4?
Hey, yeah, I'm right there in the same area.
Now, hold on just a second, Rick. I've noticed this the past couple since this crap started.
Yeah.
If you cannot pay attention to the show,
stop.
We will turn it off.
Stop. We're not turning it off. Where are you at with your worry meter?
Me? 1. Never say never, but I don't think he's calling. I don't think he's leaving. He's certainly not leaving to go down there to that cesspool. They hate his guts down there.
I don't know. The boys on Tiger Droppings are warming up to him.
So you've been perusing the message boards and seeing what the opposition's
saying. Big message
board
guy.
Oh, you're a big mess. All you do is sit and trash Tennessee message boarders. And last time at one of our message board events, your name came up, and it was thoroughly trashed. And I do mean thoroughly.
Like I care about what a bunch of unemployed, incel, basement dwellers think about me at this radio show.
You're nuts. Unemployed?
You heard.
75% of the members of the Knoxville Bar post on that message board.
Well, that's a rectally derived statistic. What are the boys at Volnugs? What's the worry meter like over there?
He's not going to answer.
Oh, coward. You coward.
I know where he'll be at 7 a.m. Oh, I will call, and they will have to flush me.
He's sweating right now somewhere. I know. I can just tell him I was on the lake fishing. I was playing golf with Nate. What lame excuse will Houston offer up?
You know he's not doing anything with Hudson.
It's very easy, Houston, to just put some cryptic tweet on Twitter and get your minions all ruffled up and running around. Oh my God, what's happening? That's so easy to do, a hit and run, if you will. And then here, this radio station where you work, you're a part of what we do here, and you're just going to leave us hanging like this? Be a man. Step up to the mic. Call into the drive. Explain yourself. You owe it to this audience. You owe it to the people.
Whoa. He is Houston surfaced, Russ, in our group text. Wasn't expecting this nonsense. You've known us for going on how long now, Chris?
Just call it in and explain yourself, man. Just call in. We'll lower the temperature a little bit. Just call in and explain yourself. Don't make us wait till 7 a.m.
Come on, man.
You owe it to this audience.
Everybody's still going to tune in on Optimism Tuesday to you and, you know, your cohorts.
Yeah, there's still plenty of audience for you guys tomorrow morning. You can't drop a teaser like that over, what, 12 hours, 17 hours before you go on the air. You could drop a big teaser like that, like an hour or two before you go on the air. I know it's difficult for you guys, your morning show. I mean, we do that sometimes. I did a cheap one of those last week with the whole Vitello and Ole Miss angle. I did that like right an hour before. Yeah, we're bringing people in, and it worked a little bit. You can't do that, man. It's like 17 hours, Chris. You can't do that. People are going to go home tonight. They're going to get drunk. They're going to get
Please hold for Russell Smith.
Oh, hey, we got him?
Yeah.
He answered. All right. Let's bring in the Vol Rumor Mill, Houston Kress. Hey, buddy, how are you?
I've been better.
Hi, Houston.
We were just talking about how much we enjoy having you, working with you here.
You're our buddy.
Yeah, how much you're looking forward to Optimism Tuesday and singing my praises on the air. I know you guys. I know you do great work, and, you know, you're all station first. Yeah,
Yeah, and thank you for doing the right thing, not making all our – it's not about us. It's not about you, Houston. It's about the audience right now.
Right.
And they want to know. They want to know. What is your Major League Baseball source telling you that's got you so worried right now?
It was in the tweet LSU's after Tony. It's not a surprise. I didn't hide it.
But what specifically? Are they – I mean, is he receptive to their overtures? How worried should we be?
No. This isn't like – LSU and Tony. This is LSU about Tony. They're testing all the waters. They're fishing big time. And I don't like it. I'm not a fan.
So they're just vetting him?
So to speak. But it goes a little deeper than, oh, well, you know him very well. What do you think of him? They're it's a wide net, Russ. I don't like it.
Well, I mean, what are they down to? Like their fifth choice?
It feels like an initiative, and I'm not a big fan.
Well, the Bianco guy at Ole Miss, I don't know if he's officially, quote-unquote, pulled out, but they did announce an extension for him, which usually.
And, Russ, I told you, I've been hearing Bianco for a month. I heard that was their main target. They thought they had him. And so I wasn't nervous at all about Tony. I was like, nope, it's going to be Bianco, however you want to say it. I don't know. I've heard it was going to be him, and that they were very confident because, you know, his son plays at LSU, and it was going to be this perfect marriage, and everything's going to be fine. So I was like, nope, Tony ain't going nowhere. It's going to be Bianco. We're fine. And then late last night, on the heels of our nut kick, Bianco signs an extension with Ole Miss, and I'm thinking, huh, okay, well, that's not good. And then I get that call today where, you know, former LSU players are kind of phoning the streets for anybody who may or may not have met, known, disliked Tony Vitello. And I'm like, oh, this is not going well?
Well, what does that mean? They're just looking for a reason not to hire him, making sure there's no big skeletons in the closet or something like that?
And that's why I don't think this is, you know, DEFCON 5. I think this is, you know, there's probably a couple, 2-3 candidates ahead of him, but this is kind of the precursor to, okay, if these three guys turn us down, what can we learn about Tony Vitello? And I wasn't here. I wasn't ready to go there a week ago.
Should we manufacture a terrible off-the-field rumor and story about Tony Vitello just to keep LSU off the trail?
Russ, you don't think that was the first thing I told my guy? I was like, you told him Tony was crazy, right? You told him he's a loose cannon, a wild man, he can't be trusted? And he goes, oh, man, I probably should have. And I'm like, yeah, you should have. Yeah, like, I'm telling you right now, like, based on everything I've heard off the streets about Tony, yeah, you wouldn't want to hire him at LSU. Couldn't handle it. No chance. No way.
I mean,
I'm kidding, obviously. Like, in all fairness, like, look, Tony Vitello is the man. Anything he gets, he's well deserving of it. But I just don't want to lose the guy, man. I don't want to lose him, Russ. It's that simple.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying it would be a shame if the power brokers at LSU were to hear about the story about the wild weekend in Gatlinburg with
right.
the sorority girl and a team of Clydesdales that got a little bit out of
trouble. I didn't know you were going to mention it on air. I was trying to protect old Tony.
I just didn't. I mean, I don't want to.
Damn, Houston, you put it on Twitter. You've got more follows than almost all the rest of us combined.
Well, I didn't know Russ was going to go with the Colombian drug lord story and the Clydesdales and the, you know, the Hawaiian Tropic bus. Like, I didn't know that's where he was going.
I mean, this allegedly, you know, we should say.
Oh, right. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't there.
Many people are saying. No.
Were you there?
No.
No, no. Yeah, so, yeah, allegedly. Yeah, fairness.
What on the worry meter, with 10 being he's gone, 0 being no chance, how worried are you?
No, I know you've been at a 3, and Bear's been at a 1.
I'm up to 4.5 today.
Yeah, look, this is honestly, this is not like a radio thing. I was not nervous at all. Like, I was a 0.1 until today, and now I'm at like a 3.5. Like, I don't like it. And this is not some game we're playing. Like, this is, you know, this is my guy telling me what he heard. And yeah, like, I'm a little nervous now because, you know what this feels like, Russ? This feels like Southern California falling to 6.
Oh,
and then
come
7,
on.
And
Chris.
Then 8. And then it's,
ooh,
like, well, we're going to,
no,
call 9.
Ooh. You know the big difference?
Wow.
You want to know the big difference? Lane, sure, Kiffin had no, still doesn't, will never have any class, any kind of moral fiber. And for you to just lump.
I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a coach and a board and a school getting down to a certain number to where.
What's that tell you about the job down there? I don't see how. I mean, I keep hearing these big numbers thrown around, but I mean, the state's broke, the school's broke. FBI's, you know, I mean, forget the NCAA.
They are around. I worry that it's the LSU job. And look, I'm not a big college baseball guy before this year. I'm not some, you know, aficionado, but I do know that that job is held in very high regard. And for a, you know, a baseball guy like Tony, I just worry that at some point, and I don't mean this to besmirch him, because obviously I want to keep him whatever it takes, but they fall low enough on their board and get so desperate not to be turned down that they have no choice but to offer him an insane amount of money. It is the LSU job, and all the issues we're talking about at Tennessee, well, will the fan base support him? Can the facilities be built? Can we pay him enough? Like, those questions are all answered if LSU gets desperate enough. And that's what scares me the most. And
we just made
the Kiffin reference.
I mean, if we're paying Kevin Steele $1 million for 2 weeks, if we're paying, you know, a collection of coaches in non-revenue sports close to 7 figures to suck out loud and destroy once proud programs.
Preaching to the choir.
I don't believe it. I'll be stunned if he leaves here. I really will.
I would be too, but this is also Tennessee, and I guess I've come to expect the kick.
I think that's what it is.
And I don't disagree with that. Like, I could be completely making all this up in my
head,
and, but we've all experienced it enough.
I don't know about you guys. Houston, I mean, did you just – yesterday felt weird. Like, he looked –
buddy,
almost
we
sad.
Said it on the show this morning. It had, and I'm not saying this is the truth.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the way it felt very Tennessee versus Michigan right before we heard Bruce Pearl.
That's what I said right before you,
you guys, stop.
Picked up the phone.
Why are you doing this to yourselves?
It's the vibes, man.
The
like
vibe.
I've been here long enough to know. And I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I think you're both wrong.
It kind of felt like a team that was like, oh, damn, we love this guy, and he's gone. Bear, did you recognize that team yesterday? Because I sure didn't.
No, I mean, they had a bad day. I think I said it on VR yesterday. I felt like if we had not left those guys on or stranded in the first, it gave that guy a chance to settle down and settle in.
And
you
I
know,
made the
then,
same excuses for him on my show. I'm just saying, if you go back and think about it, that did not look like the team we have watched all season. And I have not missed a game.
Oh, I've seen that team a couple.
Possibly be watched.
Oh yeah, now I've seen that team a couple times this season. I saw that team yesterday. I saw them against Kumar Rocker. I saw them against Alabama when we lost that game in the SEC tournament.
I'll give you that. I do think they might be slow starters in postseason play. They were not good in Game 1 in the SEC tournament. They were not good in Game 1 against Wright State. So maybe there's something to that.
Man, you can't take anything away from that. I mean, that Virginia pitcher yesterday pitched the game of his life. I mean, he was dealing.
No, he was great. He was great.
They didn't know. They were completely bamboozled about,
yeah,
you know, what
was, no, they couldn't tell the difference between the high heat or the slider that was going to drop off.
Yeah.
I mean, they, you know, yeah, he was great. I don't know, man. It's like I said, I could be completely wrong, and he's going to be our coach for the next 15 years. But, like, I'm conditioned to it. I think we all are, to be like, man, something's up with this team in the biggest game of the season. Why might that be? And then I get that news today, and I'm like, there's no way. Like, I don't want to believe it. I want Tony Vitello to be the king of Knoxville for the next 15, 20 years. Like, he's got that much time left. He's got plenty of time to make money in, you know, coaching wherever he decides to go. And I think Tennessee is, you know, on deck to give him a very big contract and all the renovations he wanted. But again, my fear is that LSU strikes out and misses enough times, and I'm not saying you'd have to be desperate if you're LSU to hire Tony Vitello. I just think they would get desperate to not get turned down again. And I mean, let's face it, man, like they are the college baseball Alabama. Like, they can offer the money. They have the facilities. They have the fan base, you know. It makes me as sick to say it as it does you to hear me say it. But, like,
it's just acknowledging reality. Yeah, I mean, it's – I'm with you. I obviously hope that you're wrong, but I think that a lot of people are having the same feelings. And, yeah, I mean, we've been through what we've been through for over 10 years now, so how could you not have some of those feelings if you're a longtime Tennessee fan? Hopefully it proves incorrect, but only time will tell. Houston, we got to run, man. We got Chad Withrow coming on here. It's just
No worries. Sorry, I was napping when you guys first called.
Napping.
Wow.
That's good. That's good. We thought you were going to go with fishing or golf. Napping is good.
Yeah.
Y'all be good.
You too, man. Thanks. Houston Kress, tune in to 3 and Out. Tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. for more on that situation, as it'll be a game day, and we'll talk about our schedule here on Fan Run and The Drive coming up here in just a little bit. As I said, we've got Chad Withrow from Outkick coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. Stay with us.
The Drive.
Hey, folks. Welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear and Rick cruising along with you. Monday afternoon edition of the show. Pleased to be joined on the G3 Help Me Hotline by Chad Withrow of Outkick. Good afternoon, Chad. How are you, sir?
I am doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for jumping on. As always, we appreciate your time. Your thoughts, your reaction to, I know you guys just got through doing your show. I'm sure you talked about the NCAA Supreme Court decision today, as the court basically says colleges cannot block their athletes from being compensated. What does this mean going forward for college sports?
You know, I think it means exactly what we were all predicting, that this was eventually going to happen. I'm a little bit torn, because while I believe that the NCAA is ridiculous and that they could not continue, you know, making the money they were making without something breaking and something happening, I believe that, you know, student athletes, they should have the right to make a little bit of money off their name, image, and likeness. I have no problem with all this. I just know that I've really liked college sports my entire life.
Yeah.
And I'm not in a rush to fix something that wasn't broken. Mm. And that's just me selfishly talking as a fan, right? I'm not someone out there that's currently playing a college sport. I'm not working for the NCAA. This is me just as a fan, mainly of college football and men's college basketball. But I abide by the if it's not broke, don't fix it approach. And while we can look at the finances of it and say it's been out of whack, it's one of those things that I'm okay having a feeling about knowing what's going on in college sports, but not fully knowing everything and certain things happening in the shadows. I know that sounds crazy right now, but I just look at the sport and I think, what does this mean with the transfer portal, now with all of this? What does this mean for the future of college sports? And I'm not certain that it's a good thing.
Man, that was so well said, because I feel the exact same way, Chad. And it's like, I know that this is the right thing to do. And when you have a court that's that divided decide 9-0, like this is the thing, you know they got it right. But I can't help but feel the way you do. I got into radio because of college sports, not pro sports, college sports. Yeah, it's different. You're in a pro sports town, but here, obviously, you know, the things that we fall in love with about the University of Tennessee and the SEC is the players, the coaches, the crazy fan bases, the traditions, all those things that are being slowly eroded away. And if this is going to have the big impact that all the learned pundits out there are saying that it's going to have, it just feels kind of like you're saying, man, maybe we're opening a Pandora's box, and that erosion of what makes college sports special is going to just continue to increase drastically.
Yeah, you know, I like a separation of church and state. I like a separation of pro and college sports. And now that college sports is, it's always been a minor league, and I get that players have been paid, you know, for years and years and years, and we just, you know, have turned a blind eye to it. I understand all of that. But now that it's so out front, and you're still going to have certain programs that are going to find a way to have an advantage with all this, it's just, again, I just keep going back to, I love college sports. Even though I live in a pro sports town, college sports is my first passion. I love it. I love college football. Love college basketball. And now that you're fundamentally changing this, we're seeing this, you know, a little bit with Tennessee basketball and that ability to really completely turn your roster over from year to year with a transfer portal and being able to play right away. And now with this, I just think it's going to fundamentally change the baseline of college sports and why we love it. And I hope I'm wrong. I don't think we'll fully see the impact for 5 years maybe, but it's just not headed in a direction that I love simply because I love what the product was before.
Yeah, I agree completely. And you think about how different college sports was 20, 25 years ago and how much it's changed the last, you know, few years. And, man, what does the future hold the next 5, 10 years? I don't think any of us know. But one thing that could be a silver lining, and get your thoughts on this, and I realize that, again, we won't know, and this is all speculation, but as it applies to Tennessee and what they're going through with their current NCAA situation and the extra benefits case, is there any impact here that you see, and could it be a situation where Tennessee kind of runs out the clock on this thing and somehow emerges, if not unscathed, less scathed, shall we say, than they would have been 10, 15 years ago?
It's a great question. It's one that I raised on our show today, in fact, when we saw this news come down. So here's what I would do if I was Tennessee. I would go ahead and get out ahead of this, especially with this ruling being so fresh, and come back and say, look, here's what we're going to do. It's going to be a one-year postseason ban. We're going to lose 3 scholarships, and we're going to miss some official visits, whatever it is. The minimal punishment you can think of, mm-hmm, based on everything that's gone on. Say, this is going to be our punishment. Let's roll with it. Let's get it out there. Let's be done with this. Because one of two things could happen. One is what you just said. You run the clock out, so to speak. And now that basically everything is legal, it's not going to be as big of an issue for Tennessee. Here's the other possibility, though. This could be the NCAA's last chance to lay the hammer on someone. And they're angry right now with this ruling. So Tennessee and Arizona State could be two programs that get hit even harder than they would have otherwise, as sort of the last two known violators of their previous rules. So I really think it could go one of two ways. We're going to find out, I hope, soon enough. I think it's past time for Tennessee to end whatever investigation they're doing, even if there are more people to talk to, and let's get on with it.
Talk with Chad Withrow of Outkick this afternoon on the show. Chad, I know that you have been college baseball is not necessarily your cup of tea, your forte. I think you watched the Tennessee game yesterday, and your point has been well taken. I mean, it is a niche sport. There's a reason that was on ESPN2 yesterday while MLS soccer was on the main ESPN channel. My question is, do you think college baseball, now that all these games are televised, do you think it has the potential to become more than just a quote-unquote niche sport?
I don't think so. It's so hard now because there's so many options. I think it's going to be almost impossible for any sport that's not already in the American mainstream to join the American mainstream, simply because there are 100 different quote-unquote mainstreams. And that is, the niches have become so big with certain sports. I would take like EPL soccer in the U.S. as an example, right? There are people who gather and watch Sunday mornings to watch their favorite club from England. Well, it's still very niche in the U.S., but it's a powerful niche. I think college baseball has got a bit of that to it. And I also think it's still just such a tournament sport. People really aren't paying attention to regular season college baseball. I think people are paying less attention to regular season college basketball. So that's not exclusive to baseball, but I see growth potential with college baseball, and I actually have liked a lot of what I've seen this postseason, paying a little bit more attention to it. But I just think it's impossible for almost any sport to really break through and become, you know, when we talk mainstream, what are we talking about? We're talking about football. NFL, college football leading the way. Baseball, because it's got such a wide amount of time where it's the biggest sport in America, I think still qualifies. But we're not really talking about a lot of sports in the mainstream, and I don't think we're going to be talking about many that will break through into that mainstream, and I don't think college baseball is going to be one of them.
Yeah, I think the thing that's interesting is it feels like the definition of what constitutes a niche sport is changing a little bit in, as this landscape continues to evolve. And, you know, I just look at it and, yeah, the ratings probably aren't that great, but in a day and age where all these games are on TV, you can watch them all, right? And then you've got social media as well. Here in Knoxville, you're watching the game on TV yesterday, and you are suffering through it with thousands of other Vol fans on Twitter or Facebook, whatever your social media of choice is, and it can feel like the dang Super Bowl, no matter where you are. It's the same thing you mentioned, the Premier League. Like you can get up on a Saturday morning, and maybe you're the only one in town watching your team, but the game is on TV. You can watch it. You can feel the emotion from the stadium all the way across the Atlantic, and you can communicate and take part with like-minded fans while you're sitting there on your couch in your pajamas with a cup of coffee. It just feels like the definition of what we consider niche is changing a lot.
Yeah, and the interconnectivity of it because of social media is a lot more. So if you're a Tennessee fan, you can look down on Twitter or Facebook or wherever, and you're going to see a lot of people talking about the game, and you're going to be a part of it every time you post something about that game. So I definitely understand that. Here's the way I would define it, though. And I think I'll say the same about the Nashville Predators in Nashville and hockey for a lot of people. The turnoff factor is high. And what I mean by that is Tennessee fans did not care, did not talk about college baseball for the many years that they were irrelevant. When Tennessee football is irrelevant, you're still talking about it. Everyone is still watching the game. The ratings aren't that drastically affected by it. Everyone's still going to watch. And at times your passion's going to increase because you get even more angry about your team when they're not doing well. Same goes for the NFL. The turnoff meter is high for college baseball because while there's a lot of Tennessee fans into it right now, the moment they're irrelevant again, it's very easy to turn it off and not follow it on the weekend when there's an SEC series and just go about your life. The same can be said for the Nashville Predators. When the Preds are bad, this city does a pretty good job of just turning it off and not worrying about it. When they're good, it's really good in this city, and people are all in. I think Tennessee baseball has a little bit of that as well.
Speaking of the turnoff factor, last thing, we'll let you go, Chad. The Vandy Whistler. I have to turn down the TV when I'm watching the game. I mean, it's absolutely unbearable. I thought this dude was banned. I remember this is a big story 2 years ago in Omaha. What is the deal there? What is the reaction to him been like in Nashville? And is there any way that we can perhaps sew his lips shut before the next Vandy game tonight?
So it's actually two people. It's the Vandy Whistlers, plural.
Oh, God.
It's two guys, Preacher Franklin, Jeff Pack are their names. And it makes the game inaudible. And it's terrible. And here's my point with this all along with Vandy and the Whistlers and everything else. Vandy, this is their pride. This is the sport that they are the best in the nation at this sport. They have the best college baseball coach in America. And people tune in for the first time maybe all year to watch a Vandy baseball game, and all they talk about are the Whistlers and the whistling throughout the game. I don't know why Vandy fans want to defend them. I get the, hey, you know, we can talk about our family and not like them, but the moment you talk about our family, we're going to defend them. I know a ton of Vandy fans that hate it, that wish they would stop. The only way it's going to stop probably is if Tim Corbin tells them to stop. The moment he does, they'll shut up. But he's been accepting of it. He's been okay with it. And until either ESPN or TD Ameritrade part comes out and says, you can't do this or you're going to be kicked out, we're going to continue to hear whistling. And I think it's a shame for Vandy baseball that that's the case.
I mean, he
go ahead.
He does it when Vandy's up to bat. I mean, it's so distracting. Like, he does it when Vandy's up to bat, when Vandy's pitching, does it all the time. I feel like some Tennessee fan ought to, you know, just get one of those boat air horns and then just blast him with it.
It'd be about the same effect.
Just every time he whistles, just blast that thing about 5 inches from his ear.
Didn't they shut him up last time they were in Omaha, Chad?
They tried to. They removed him from the park for one of the games. Then he got back in. They decided they got him because he sat in the wrong seats. They were whistling, and they realized that they had moved down. So they kicked him out of the stadium one time because he was in his wrong seats.
So
the guys were.
So for him, it's it's a free speech issue. They can't shut me up.
Yeah,
I'm on my ticket.
Maybe one of them was removed and the other one kept whistling.
Oh.
That's exactly what happened. But, guys, it would be simple just to write in the rules.
Yeah.
You can't have a rhythmic sound over and over again that's choreographed. Something. You could make it vague enough to where you could remove them from the stadium. And I wish that would happen because it would make the viewing experience so much better for everyone else. And, again, if you're Vandy, I don't understand why you want this to be the representation of your fan base. I love Tennessee. I'm a Tennessee grad. I'm not going to claim every Tennessee fan because many of them are embarrassing. And I'll be quick to point that out. I don't understand why if you're a Vandy fan, you won't just state the obvious that these two guys are embarrassing you and you want them to stop. It's okay to not accept everything about your team and to voice displeasure with a small bit of it.
And for a sport that is trying to grow, that has grown, and we could debate about how big, you know, what the ceiling is for college baseball as a popular sport in America, but it does feel, you know, all these games are televised. Certainly, there's more coverage given to the College World Series now than there was 20 years ago. It seems to me that it's just bad for the sport. If I'm trying to attract viewers, hey, Vandy's got these two awesome pitchers, Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter. Tune in and watch these guys. And you're like, okay, I'll give it a shot. I'll tune in and see what's going on. And 2 minutes into it, you're like, man, that is obnoxious. I'm sorry, I can't do this. I'm going to go back to binging Netflix or whatever the other option is. That's not a good way to grow your sport.
No, I totally agree. And again, you know, this is what Vandy does best. That they are a dominant baseball program. And they can currently lay claim to the best baseball program in the country. And when you tune into the game that they're playing in the College World Series and look down at Twitter, what are 75% of people talking about in the game? It's the whistler. Even national media members talking about the whistling, and that's not what you want.
Chad, we appreciate your time. As always, have a great rest of the afternoon. I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
All right, sounds great, guys. Thanks.
Chad Withrow of OutKick, making his presence felt at the Chad Withrow on Twitter. You want to go follow him. And, of course, you can hear OutKick 360 weeknights from 8 to 10 right here on Fan Run Radio as we get to hear those guys and their uniquely Nashville perspective on all things sports, including the Tennessee Power Hour. Always must hear radio. We got to take a quick timeout. Stay with us. We're going to open up the phones to you when we continue here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
The Axe House in Sevierville. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. 865-546-8200 if you want to jump in here Give a ring, 546-8200. A lot to unpack from our conversation with Chad Withrow.
Well, he's got me fully triggered now.
What's that?
The Whistler.
The Whistler is brutal, man.
Yeah. I'd ask him, you know, let's see how well you can whistle without any teeth.
It really did make the game unwatchable.
It did. You had to turn it down. Yeah, could you imagine paying all that money to travel down there for a ticket? I would immediately go to, the park, the facility people.
And raise your objections. You don't think that's happened?
I'd be like, you got to get this guy out of here. It's going to get ugly down here.
It's, again, for a sport that feels like it's seen some good growth here the past couple of years. And all these games are on television now, and there's some it's an event, man. It's a good event.
I mean, something's got to be wrong with this guy.
You've got an opportunity to continue to grow. It's not good, man, when the number one team in your sport, people are tuning in, okay, let's see what these guys are about. Man, what's that whistling? And within 2 or 3 minutes, you're mildly irritated. Within 5 minutes, you're really irritated, and you're not going to watch that. You're either going to turn the sound off, more than likely. I mean, who turns the sound off? We turn the sound off because we're fans and we want to see the game. I can watch it without the volume. If you're just a casual observer, you don't have a team in it, and you're just looking for something to watch on a Monday evening, you're not going to sit there and watch the game with the sound off. You're going to find something else to watch, something else to do.
That's what I did the other night, as soon as he started. I was like, well, I guess I'm not watching the Vandy game.
Well, I just wonder, at what point does Greg Sankey get involved and say, look, you go to Tim Corbin and say, man, we are trying to grow this sport. It has come a long way. I know you want to grow your stadium, and you've won 2 national championships. That's nice, but I know you're a competitor, and there's another level and another level and another level you want to take your program to. We can't grow it without people being able to watch these games on television. And if they tune in to see you, your team, one of the marquee programs in our league and our sport, and some goofy redneck, no offense, is whistling incessantly.
I mean, he didn't even go to Vanderbilt.
People aren't going to do this. Like Chad said, if Tim Corbin, he doesn't have to do it publicly, right? Hmm. You just call the guy, and evidently there are 2 of them. You call them. They can find these guys. Like, we already know their names. You call them up and say, look, man, I appreciate your enthusiasm, but this is hurting the growth of our sport. Because it is. That's not speculation. There's got to be hurting their TV numbers, which hurts the money invested, which hurts the quality of players that can attract, which hurts everything for everybody. We'd love for you to be at the games. We'd love your support. If we hit a home run and you just got to whistle because that's your thing, by all means, but you can't do it every single pitch. You can't do it just throughout the entire game. Like, that's killing us. Would you do that?
All right, clapping.
Yeah, would you do it? Would you stop? And I bet you a reasonable guy would say yes. Now, you could argue he's not reasonable, and maybe he would say, oh, no, it's my First Amendment right. I paid my ticket. I do it. Like, if he goes and you say okay, and then maybe you ban him from the stadium. I don't know. Obviously, that's slippery. But that would be the approach I would take, is say, hey, look, for the good of our program, the good of our game, will you please stop? And it doesn't sound like they've tried that yet.
No, I think that you pretty much just nailed that spot on. If you are the teams, probably a little bit frustrated for those reasons. If you're a fan, you're frustrated for similar reasons. And if you're these networks, someone like ESPN, I mean, I know they're at least monitoring that. You know, how many people are saying, you know what, I can't even watch this game. And they flipped it off. They, like you said, they went to Netflix. They went somewhere else because it was just such a hard experience to watch. We'll see what happens tonight.
Do you guys have any thoughts on the NCAA Supreme Court decision today?
I just think as polarized and at each other's throats as we seem to be nowadays, and just how everything seems to be just smack down the middle. You know, 50-50, half the country wants something, the other half hates it. Only the NCAA could pull off getting a 9-0 Supreme Court ruling with justices on the, you know, both sides ideologically just basically lambasting them. And they did it to themselves. They're the one, the NCAA is the one who pushed this all the way to the Supreme Court.
Do you share the concern that Chad and I have about, is this going to strip away what makes college sports special?
Yeah, I mean, I hate that you and Chad, that's not what I need to say. The cow's already out of the barn.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It's done, dude. We got free agency. And yeah. I mean, I don't know if you paid attention to this offseason, Russ, but we've essentially got free agency in college sports now.
I even go back to our conversation last week about Hank T and the Tennessee wristband and just kind of everything we talked about with, you know, these kids. It's not rivalries. It's not, you know, hey, I'm going to Tennessee, so I hate all the people at Florida. It's not that anymore. It's, you know, hey, man, my friend over here, he might go to Florida, but I'm going to go tweet him that he had a great game because I want him as a connection for when we might be in the NFL. I think even going back to that conversation last week, that's starting more, to me, the shift away from a traditional college sport where it's all about rivalries and cities and fan bases and communities. You see it from the players. It's not the same to them.
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely lost that connection that college sports fans have with the players that came through. The days of your Johnny Majors, your Reggie Whites, your Heath Shulers, just doesn't feel like you're going to get that much anymore. And it's very much become a mercenary sport, a very transactional relationship between the player and the school. And to me, you know, like I told Chad, like, maybe that's the right thing to do, and maybe legally that was always inevitable. But we've got pro sports in this country.
Right.
And it's cool, man. I love the NFL. But I just wonder, man, where's this all headed? If we're just getting rid of college sports and it's a pro sport with some loose affiliation with a university in that town, I mean, what does that even look like? And is that going to draw people in and get them emotionally vested the way we were all emotionally vested and assimilated to Tennessee sports?
Yeah, I mean, I just think if you're talking about a kid and maybe besides the ones that want to stay close because of a family reason or because of a location reason or something like that, I really believe that the two things that mean the most to these kids is A, who's going to get me to the NFL, and B, who's got the best stuff. And it doesn't matter where they have to go. It doesn't matter where they were born. It doesn't matter if they were born 30 minutes outside of Knoxville, 30 minutes outside of Gainesville. I think they're going to go where they have the best stuff and who can promise them that they're going to go to the NFL. It's a stepping stone. And even if a fraction of the percentage of kids actually get to the NFL, I think they're all promised. I think they're all told that they can get to the NFL through this school.
All right, we'll talk more about this coming up, but we got to get back to this base. Our season is not over yet.
No.
We're moping around after losing the game yesterday and all this Vitello to LSU talk chatter that's out there.
Thanks, Houston.
We got a game tomorrow. We're playing Texas. This is the first time we have said the word Texas on the show today, and hour number one is over. We'll get into it. Stay tuned. The Drive continues. Hour number two coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive. Rickard.